Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Evil on CBS. All access, CBS.com or on demand. Check it out. It is one of those shows you get into and you're not going to want to stop watching. It's so worth it. Evil on CBS, all access, CBS.com or CBS on demand. Hey, it's Tony Bruschi along with Jenny and Carol Hughes inviting you to come check out our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
You don't get a fart in my presence and just leave it.
When I pick up a cup, I try to take a sip. It's Greg's chew. Like, spit take right into the screen.
Gross. I know. You can't unhear that.
It's a show jam-packed with stories of crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell.
I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker.
Pick your ear, nose, rub your eye that clearly probably is pink eye. Then here, let me handle those apples for you.
So not only is it gross that you're getting bacteria onto the money, but you're getting bacteria up into something else.
And the best part, you're invited to share your workplace nightmare or office horror story as well. Just search Office Horror Stories wherever you download podcasts, click subscribe, and start binging away now.
You know, I'm single, and then I listen to stories like that, and I'm like, that person found someone.
What? You've been carrying on a not-so-discreet affair with one of the day shift supervisors and had skipped town with her and literally thousands of dollars of client money that had been earmarked for employee incentives.
I wish I had a kid, because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot, I could leave early a lot, and not saying that they were making it up, but yes, I have worked with people who made that shift.
Our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. New episodes weekly, available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, is the old farmhouse on the edge of town haunted? Everyone knows about an old house that sits by itself, slowly rotting from the inside out. Is the house in today's story haunted? Stick around to find out.
Welcome. Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, an 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio files to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our program. This is the outlet where you can share your real ghost stories without judgment. One of the few that exist out there, and we keep it on the air by your support. So if you've been listening, you've been enjoying it, consider becoming an extra podcast person, an EPP. In exchange for your support, you'll get bonus episodes every single week, access to our massive archive of almost 300 bonus episodes, access to advanced episodes of the program before they're released and they're commercial free. You do it at ghostpodcast.com or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month to get all of that stuff, and your support is what keeps this thing on the air. And we're going to do our yearly pledge drive where you get Yanni's DVD. I'm excited about that. When you pledge $400. I'm kidding. No, we don't. Yeah, turn your mic on. There we go. Sorry.
You mute me, so I can't correct you.
Yeah, sorry. Yanni's DVD. It's VHS. It's on VHS. We're doing the Yanni VHS. Beta, maybe. We do Betamax. Do you remember Beta?
Yeah, kind of. We didn't have one, but I do remember it being out there.
So yeah, kind of. No, you didn't have one?
I didn't have one.
Okay, but you
I remember it.
Okay. Yeah, we never had a Beta. We just had the VHS. Mm-hmm. But I do remember, like, there was a section in the stores where you could get the Betamax. And it's funny, they were bigger boxes than VHSs, but the cassettes were actually smaller than VHSs. Made no sense.
No.
One of the wonders of the world. Right there. And there's no Yanni VHS, by the way. It's just a joke. So if you do become an EPP, I'm sorry, you're not getting a Yanni VHS, but you will get all the other stuff I talked about.
Yeah.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I think I saw a picture of Yanni recently. Still looks the same.
Really?
I don't know what the hell it is with instrumentalists of like the 80s and early 90s, but they don't age. Kenny G looks the same.
Yeah.
Yanni, still the same. John Tesh, still the same.
I don't know.
I think they're like, I don't know. It's like cocoon shit going on there.
You're swimming with aliens.
John Tesh, Yanni, and Kenny G have like some sort of secret shit going on. And they're swimming with aliens and playing their instruments and they're not aging.
I loved that movie when I was a kid.
John Tesh?
No, Cocoon.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the John Tesh, Yanni, Kenny G movie. That was a great one.
That was not even a movie. That never happened.
It's called Fight Club.
Yeah, right.
The secret about Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. And the real thing, and here, I'll talk about it. The real secret of Fight Club, it was John Tesh, Kenny G, and Yanni all duking it out. It got really fucking bad. That's why, there you go. Secret's out.
Yep.
They made soap out of, I'm trying to think of another person they would have made soap out of. Because that was part of, did you ever see Fight Club?
No.
Yeah, it was unless I'm mixing this up with another movie, but I believe there was something to do with soap and it was made out of the fat of humans.
Oh, that's gross.
So there you go. Unless it was another early or mid, late 90s movie that I'm.
No.
There was a lot of dark, weird movies at that point in time. There's Bringing Out the Dead was another one I kind of remember at that time. We're renting these on VHS. That was, I think there was a Nicolas Cage one. There was another, I can't think. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story today. It says, I attended the University of New Hampshire. Beautiful campus is situated in a rural agricultural area near coastal New Hampshire. And I love the school. This story is not my own, but was relayed to me by a classmate with whom this happened. His girlfriend and I were childhood friends, and she knew I'd appreciate the story. He didn't want to tell me. Bothered him to think of it, but we convinced him to explain what happened, and he retold it, visibly upset by the memory. I retell it here, and it remains one of the best ones I've heard. This student lived in an old farmhouse with a bunch of other guys at the edge of town. He had a room on the second floor where the land outside that side of the house dropped away. And it was so tall there, much taller than the front, making it far, too far from the ground from his window and not easily accessible. One weekend, he went home to visit his parents, and knowing there may be parties at the farmhouse, he locked the door to his room with a key. When he returned after the weekend, he met one of his housemates as he brought his bags up to his room. Hey, his housemate said, I thought you got back last night. I heard you in your room. No, I'm just getting back now, he replied, feeling irritated someone had been in his room. He went to his room but found his key wouldn't work in the lock. The second lock deadbolt had been thrown from inside the room, so there was no way to get in through the door. Feeling angry that someone at the party had made this happen and his room had been broke into, and obviously the person was still there as the door was locked from the inside, he banged on the door. No one answered. Went outside and dragged a heavy ladder across the lawn and set it up against his windowsill. High up on the house, he climbed up and tried to lift the window sash. It was locked from the inside as well. He grabbed a knife and jimmied the lock open, lifted the sash, dropped through the curtain into his bedroom, expecting to find a sleeping guest. The room was empty. The door and window locked from the inside. As he crossed the room on his way to unlock the door, something caught his eye. He realized the furniture was pulled away from the walls. As he looked around the room, he realized the walls were covered with drawings from the floor up about 4 feet. The walls were covered with crayon drawings, apparently drawn by a child, of different scenes. Houses, flowers, trees, scribed across the floor, the four walls of his room. He stood for a moment confused, then had the realization that there was no way the lock, both the door and the window exiting the room. He felt strongly that he wasn't alone, though other than himself, there was no one with him. He grabbed his clothes and belongings, packed another bag, and left the house. As far as I know, he never returned to this house.
So some kid got in there and drew on his walls, except there was no kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of messed up.
Locked the doors and vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And there really wouldn't be, I mean, unless you had the key, there really wouldn't be a way to do that, to get out of that room and lock it.
No.
In that sort of a fashion.
Mm-mm.
Pretty messed up.
Yeah.
I was just doing an EPP episode earlier in the day, and it was talking about another house like this where it was a college house, where there's a lot of roommates in there. And quite often, houses like this, they're bigger, older homes that probably at one time were family homes.
Yeah.
And then as, you know, as things change and colleges come and things expand, a lot of these homes end up, you know, going in and becoming kind of the revolving door of places where college kids end up staying. And, you know, college kids are college kids. They're not exactly looking into fixing up the place to look special and wonderful. It's kind of a place to crash and have a party or two and not worry about it. I could see areas like that. Not that this was the homeowner, but, you know, it was the ghost of a child, probably, that was their room.
Yeah.
And they're still there. But I could see as a ghost homeowner being kind of pissed off about that concept where, you know, all these kids are disrespecting the house and the property, especially like I've been in some of those where it's like, oh, my gosh, the ornateness of some of these older homes that are now just essentially frat houses.
Yeah.
And it's just like how little care is put on to half of them. Mm-hmm. And if you're the one who built half of that stuff and took care of it, and now it's being just disrespected and treated like shit, I'd be scaring some college kids too.
Yeah.
I think I'd be like, you know, it'd be the college house and no one, but then like, what do you do? And no one wants to stay there and nobody's renting it out. Then it's just going to get torn down and they'll put something else up. Because it's a fine line you have to walk as a ghost.
I think you'd have to be pretty, bold with what you did to haunt it, because to get noticed making noise or doing anything weird in a frat house is going to be a feat in itself.
It's true. You'd have to do some really dark shit.
Blood from the walls kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
No, but I'm saying you'd have to really go full force on the haunting level, because normal stuff's not going to get noticed.
That's true. Good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Back to our ghost stories in just a moment. But first, you need to start binging Evil on CBS All Access or CBS.com or on demand, whatever platform you use. Evil is a mystery with clues in every episode leading up to the chilling season finale. It is a freaking awesome show. It is. Katja Hervis plays a psychologist, a forensic psychologist, who is hired by a priest in training from the Catholic Church, played by Mike Coulter, together with Asimovi, which you may recognize from several other really awesome shows that I've really enjoyed. They investigate the Catholic Church's backlog of unexplained mysteries, trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. The more they discover, the more dangerous life gets, because there's someone trying to stop them from getting the answers that they are searching for. That's Michael Emerson. He's playing the perfect villain on the show. Doesn't hide in the shadows either. He's out there in the open, just kind of wreaking havoc, going, hey, what are you going to do? Can't find this stuff out. It's a great show. It's one of those you're just going to want to binge away on. It's dark. It's creepy. It's, you know, it's everything I like. It's everything you like. It's Evil on CBS All Access, CBS.com, and CBS On Demand for the perfect binge fest. 855-853-4802 is our number. Another letter says, greetings from Ontario, Canada. My grandma and grandpa were amazing people. They were always loving, always caring, always smiling and laughing. No matter what small thing happened, they were always so proud of us. My grandma was a retired school secretary. Her cooking was the stuff of legend. Her laugh and joy could light up a room, and she had an unforgettable sense of humor, like an unhealthy obsession with card confetti. Holy cow, that stuff made such a mess, but grandma just laughed and kept on doing it despite our grumbling and protests. At her funeral, one of my family members dumped card confetti in her grave. What a fitting send-off. My grandpa was a veteran firefighter of 33 years and was always telling stories of his time there. He was and always will be a superhero to me. I lost my grandma in 2007. She was only 71. We watched her waste away to nothing in a hospital bed, which was highly traumatic. After her passing, I fell into a deep depression, which affected everything in my life, from schoolwork to relationships. I don't know how long this went on for, but one day, early in the morning, I lay awake in bed, still depressed. All of a sudden, I felt what I can only describe as an unseen presence descending on me. Two invisible hands gently took hold of mine, and invisible lips pressed a kiss on my forehead. And as quickly as it came, it was gone. But a calming atmosphere remained. After, it was like a light switch flicked on. I was happier. My schoolwork improved. To this day, I swear my grandma coming to say, don't cry, be happy, I'm here. I lost my grandpa a few years later in 2014. He was 75. After his passing, we went to his condo to clean it out and divide belongings between us and my aunt Shelley. We got home around midnight and began unpackaging boxes and bins in the kitchen. My dad had some Bluetooth speakers on top of a china cabinet at that time. They weren't connected to anything. All of a sudden, the speakers hissed loudly with static, which startled us. It was broken and faint, but I swore I heard a voice say, hello, I love you. I believe my grandpa was paying a visit. These two experiences made me the hardcore paranormal believer I am today. And I believe it proves definitively that even though loved ones pass, they are only next door in the spirit world. I enjoy your show a lot and listen frequently. Take care and keep up the good work.
I think that's a good way to think of it, that they're just next door. You know, mm-hmm. they're still there. They're still watching out. They don't want anything bad for you. They don't want you to be sad.
Unless you had really asshole relatives.
So, yeah.
Shoot that one.
Yeah.
They don't want anything bad for you. Unless they're assholes. Wah, wah. Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, people are good and that they do. And we hear actually a lot of stories of the seemingly what were questionable relatives or loved ones. Maybe not even loved in life. But they weren't like, you know, they have the strongest relationship in life. Come back on the other side is like really protective and really caring. And it's like this whole other side that you never saw when they were there.
Yeah.
Looking out. Mm-hmm. So that does happen. It makes you go, well, why the hell weren't you like that when you were alive?
Exactly.
Anyway, 855-853-4802. Is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Rosemary from Missouri again. I wanted to tell you two kind of short stories while my house is kind of quiet. So when I moved off or went away to college and lived in the dorms. I was about 3.5 hours away from home. And I was in the big city for the first time, you know, country girl going to the big city. Anyway, so I lived in the dorms and, I had always been this person that even in middle school and high school, I would feel like there was somebody, you know, near wherever I was. And I could pinpoint, like, where the person would be standing if there was a person there. And every one of these instances came with a different, very distinct smell. Anyway... So as I got older, I started figuring out that there was actually somebody there. They, you know, I just couldn't see them, but they all had a smell. So I learned very, very quickly that, you know, if they have a bad smell, you don't want to be any part of that. Anyway, so like I said, I went off to college three and a half hours away. And I had gotten a terrible roommate, finally convinced another girl on a different floor to swap with me. And so I get up onto the third floor, and this university, the two of the residence halls used to be basically the rooms for students to live there. This is really, really old buildings. I mean, like, you step in the shower and the shower head's like right in front of your face, and I'm like 5'4", maybe. Anyway, the room across from ours, I'll say me and my new roommates, was a showroom that was decorated for, you know, decorated and locked and kept for showing prospective students and their parents. We had always had a legend that there was a reason that that was a showroom and that it was never, you know, given assigned to any students. And that was because during one of the first years of the college, supposedly a girl who was on the basketball team, she broke her ankle during a basketball game, and she found out that she couldn't play basketball anymore, and tragically she supposedly took her life in that room. Anyway, so I was at that point a go to bed early person, and I would hear every night before I went to bed, I would hear bouncing, like a ball bouncing. And I would get up and I would look around outside in the hallway, and, you know, there's nobody out there. I figured it must have been somebody in one of their rooms. Until one night when every girl on my floor went to this specific house party, and my ex-roommate was going to be there, so I didn't want to go. And I heard the bouncing. And I opened up my door. And have you ever smelled, like, new tennis shoes? It was just like a wave of that hit me. And sadness. Like, really, really sad. So, I did what I do most of the time when I encounter good ones that are maybe creeping me out a little bit. I asked her, I said, "Hi, I live across the hall. Would you mind not bouncing your balls so much? Because I'm trying to go to sleep." And the bouncing stopped. And I told her thank you, and I went to bed. And any time after that, if I heard the ball bouncing and I was alone in the room, in my room with my roommate, I would, you know, nicely ask her to stop, and she would stop, and I would thank her, and I would go to sleep. The second one is, after I got done with college, I moved into a small house. It was like 2-bedroom, 1-bath, with another girl that I was friends with. And that didn't go very well. But anyway, we move into the house, and my first time taking a shower in the bathroom, and I realize that there is someone else in the bathroom, and I'm naked in the shower. So I was kind of like, "Hi," and you know, some of them are so, like, they really want me to know, like, what they look like. Of course, I don't always trust that because, you know, they're projecting this image. So she kind of projected this lady who is very stern looking, and she's wearing, you know, a dress that has, like, you remember when they used to have, like, the giant, like, bumps on the back of their dresses? Like a bouffant, almost? That's the kind of dress she was wearing. Anyways, so, I was like, okay, and I'm, you know, finished my shower and everything, and over the course of living there, She would stand in my, I'd wake up and she would be standing in my doorway looking at me. And my, or, you know, if it was late at night and I was walking around the house, or even during the day, if I was walking around the house, she would follow me, like really close behind me. And she always smelled like detergent lemons. And my roommate had a cat. And, you know, even though I could see that there was nothing there, if sometimes I would wake up and he would be staring at the same spot I was. Like he saw it. And there was even one time when roommate got these like funky little like 70s flower looking stick up window decals, and she started putting them on like the tiles by the tub, and every time we would go in there they would all be like crumpled up in the bottom of the tub. And we eventually figured out that the cat wasn't doing it, we weren't doing it, and my roommate actually took them out to her car, put them on the inside of her car window, and left them for a week, and they didn't fall off. But the second we put them back in that bathroom, they were in the bottom of it again. So the lady who was living there did not like those decorations. And eventually, this is what I told Mary. I said, she doesn't like them. And she was just Our Lady in the bathroom. And anyway, one night I got finally creeped out enough, and I said, you know, I really don't mind. I know it's your house too, but I'm living here right now. And you're scaring me when you're standing in my doorway at night, or when you're following me around in the dark. It's really scary. And I said, you know, if you want to tag along with me during the daytime, that's okay. You know, this is your house just as much as it is mine. This is your space. I made up certain rules with the lady in the bathroom, and we actually got along really, really well after that. She was very respectful of my space. I was respectful of hers. Sometimes I think that, you know, these entities that, you know, used to be human, I think the ones that used to be human, sometimes they just, you know, they go so long without any kind of interaction with anybody that, you know, they just, they're like old folks in a house. They just want somebody to talk to. So, yeah, that was the lady in the bathroom. She was pretty nice after that. I told Mary we couldn't hang up any more of those kind of decorations. We had to pick something a little bit more adult. And so none of our other decorations fell down, thank God. That's part of my story, and here's to y'all from Weird Kid in Missouri. See y'all.
I think sometimes you just have roommates that are dead, you know, and that's all the ghosts are.
Yeah.
You know, whatever kind of roommate they would be in life, that's how they're going to be in death.
And they're going to be picky about how you decorate.
That, or you have to tell them, hey, can you, you know, be quiet so I can sleep, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Normal roommate stuff
that you would that's the thing. It's treating them like they are living,
because
they're kind of going,
I'm not that different. I'm just dead.
Yeah.
And then they're realizing how normal it is to be dead. We're the ones on this side realizing how they don't understand. Oh, it's not that different. You're still there. Yeah, I think that's probably what's going on there. I wonder if I appeared to the we had a story a while back about a woman who dreamt that she was at her old house and she was walking through the woods and she saw the family having a campfire. Remember that story? And then she ended up going back over there to the house, knocking on the door. And the people who answered the door were actually the people who were in her dream. And the kid's like, hey, that's the ghost lady from the campfire the other night.
Yeah.
She like projected herself there in her dream. I had a dream the other day that we were at our old house.
Which old house?
Exactly. This old house. Bob Vila was there. We were working on Shiplap. It was the last house that we were just in. And because we had done so many different things to it. And I dreamt that we were there, and they had taken up the floor that we had just put down before we left, and I wasn't like ghostly, or I was like talking. I'm like, you do realize those are like 2 months old or something, things like that. And so I was like wondering, gee, maybe I was like haunting their house.
Could be.
And they're like, there's this guy here that's showing up criticizing the things we're doing to the house. I'm not even dead yet and I'm fucking with them in their house.
But you know what? We met them at the closing, so they would know who you were.
That's true. They'd be like, how the fuck? What? And then boom, I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome if you could control that and just show up.
No.
People's homes.
People can do that to us then too. I don't want that.
I don't want that either. That would be unsettling. I don't know that they would though. I think it'd just be me that would want to do things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, you're always, I don't know. I'm curious what people do to homes after I leave them. Are you?
Yeah, because that house was, we had done everything you could do to that house.
Yeah.
But I know that they were planning on doing something to the house, but I don't know what. So it's like, you know.
Seance room is what they were going
to
be building.
No, it's just that, it's not my house anymore. And that's fine, whatever they want to do to it. But it's like, what are you going to do? You know, what possibly could you do to it now?
We did everything to it. It was perfect. Don't touch
it. No, it's not that. Because I know everybody has different tastes, but it's like everything had been redone. So that just kind of is like my curiosity is piqued. Just what are you going to do?
Yeah. I've gone as close to think, because I'm always curious. I always look at the listings of our old homes, and none of them ever gone back on the market again. Maybe they like what we've done to the homes.
Maybe.
And they stay. But I'm always curious to see if like new realtor picks ever come up or anything. But it came to my mind and like, what if I Facebook stalked them?
Don't do that.
And people do like, you know, they put up pictures of their, like, here's our new house. Like, where'd they put the furniture? I'm just curious.
Don't do that.
Yeah, and I'll send you the pictures and just like.
I'm better if I just detach and let it go. It's their house now.
I don't care. I'm just curious.
It's too.
Like a morbid curiosity. It's nothing that like really bothers me. It's just kind of like a morbid curiosity where it's like sometimes you're like, oh, I wonder what that person looks like today. You know, like somebody from high school or something. It's like, how well did they age over the last 20 years? And you're like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah, I don't care about that at all.
But it's one of those human morbid curiosities that I have. I have them with objects though, and like homes more than I do of people, quite honestly. So that's what I wonder about that. Like I look up old, it's not even like, and this is an interesting thing about that. It's not even just like homes that I lived in. I'm always curious about like stores and structures that I frequented as like a child. Like, what is that today? I'm always interested in going into like abandoned like department stores that I once went into as a child. Like, what is there now? What's it, you know, is there any remnants of it left? Things like that. So I don't know what the hell that is, but it's.
Well, like when we went back and visited the town where I spent my early years.
Yeah.
You did not think it was weird at all that I wanted to go visit the grocery store.
No.
Because that's like a thing you would do.
It's what I always do. I mean, we do that in my hometown because the grocery store that we went to most frequently as a kid, or one of them anyway, is now like half children's museum. And then the other part is like a resale store.
Okay.
that reshop where we found those old stools.
Yeah.
And the reshop is the only part of that that still somewhat resembles the grocery store. There's some fixtures that are still left there because it was kind of a warehousey type building. And you can still see some of the deli counter way back. I was always like kind of curious, like, I wonder if they notice if I just kind of wander back there and
yeah, they're going
to the area you're not supposed to be in just to see what's left. But I you know, I don't know. I spent so many hours in retail stores as a kid, you know, with my mom shopping or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm curious about that. There's another grocery store in my hometown too that was, it was called Lauer's, and it's like a printing factory now or company, a big print shop. And it, we had like a diner in it, and it had, there was a grocery store. We spent a lot of time there too. And the building is still there, but I have no idea what this place looks like now. Is it's, I mean, it was, it turned into a print shop 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I have all these memories of like, well, I wonder what it looks like now. I don't know. I'm just,
yeah.
It's like the kid, it's like the Miranda Lambert song, except it mine's about grocery stores.
That's true.
It's like, how did that, what was that song called? The
House That Built Me.
This is the grocery store that built me.
Yeah.
And down that aisle were the tuna casseroles. I could totally change the lyrics and it would be very meaningful. I'd probably cry because it's that meaningful.
You probably would.
I probably would. Just like, I'm more that way about grocery stores and retail locations. That's me. How you doing?
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to keep our show on the air, sign up to be an EPP, an extra podcast person. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do that, or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories to keep us on the air. And if I am looking at this calendar correctly, I think this is our last regular show of 2019.
Okay.
Over the two Christmas weeks, we'll have some best of episodes of this show and the Grave Talks. And then, of course, we're back beginning of 2020 there, first week with brand new episodes, EPP episodes, brand new ones for you all throughout the holidays. That never ends. So if you're not an EPP yet, you want some new material over the weekend or over the holiday break, sign up and you'll be getting that. So happy New Year, Merry Christmas, happy holidays and everything. And we'll talk to you in 2020.
Okay.
All right. Have a great year. Have a New Year's, everybody. And thanks for a great 2019 of Real Ghost Stories Online.